Let's get into the word tonight. If you want to turn over with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we're going to be hanging out for a little bit. Trick or treat. And so let's get into it today. It's candy time, right? That's all I knew about Halloween growing up. It's candy time. My parents didn't decorate the house for Christmas. At least as we got older, they didn't. I heard my dad was a maniac when we were younger. I don't remember it, but apparently we had a girl, I guess, run through a plate glass window of our front door because she got so scared. And I don't know. My dad was just a big kid, but whatever he did, he did. I don't know. But anyway, you know, as kids, what we did is we got dressed up in outfits that almost got us all killed. Because we couldn't see as we crossed the roads, we couldn't see as we ran. You know, we'd run into fences, we'd trip over curbs, and so we'd get us, you know. And then these darn masks, you couldn't even breathe in the things. They were plastic. Remember those kids at my age? They were plastic. And so by the time you were done, man, the sweat was just dripping, the water was dripping off the inside of your mask because you couldn't breathe through them. And so, you know, we skipped houses that we knew for years that only gave out the horrible stuff like apples. Who wants an apple? Come on, you know, you're going out for candy. So skip that house, they give apples out, you know? Or you take the apple and you chuck it at somebody as they were walking down the road or something. And or penny candy. Back then we had penny candy. You know, penny candy, you actually paid a penny for candy. And so we had penny candy back then. I know for kids today that's foreign, but and so we stayed away from those houses and we always went to the houses that gave the king-size bars out. We all, you know, there was a few in Collins Lakes that you just knew. This family's going to give the big candy bars out. This family's going to, you know, and then we'd bring them all back. We'd stick our bags in our sock drawers, and we would eat sugar for the next 2 weeks. And Mom and Dad would go nuts. I took my candy to a friend of mine's house one time. It was a friend who was very wealthy, and I wouldn't tell you because you may even know the family because they are around the area doing business today. But you know, and so his mother was just a riot, and so we took our candy over there, my sister and I did, and the mother, she wanted to throw it out because you don't put candy in the bedrooms. You don't. We always had candy in our bedrooms. That's where the bag went after you brought it home. You know, so I get that there's a lot of hesitation. With this holiday in the church. I get it, and it's rightly so. So don't let me step on any toes. It's got a sordid and evil history to it. I get it. We're not going to go into that today because I think most of you know that. If you don't know it, you can study it. And though we did allow our boys to go out trick-or-treating, there's nothing in this church that would speak badly about any parent who did that or any parent who does not want to do that. It's one of those things, you will not be judged. And so just know that. You have to live your Christian life under the freedoms that Jesus allows you. We never celebrated Halloween. It was candy. That's all it was about for us. That's what my boys understood. And that's why we did what we did. If you're against that, then I get it. And rightfully so. It's totally up to you. Once again, the Bible is very clear to tell us many times that we need to be ready to stand before Jesus and give an account as parents and men, especially men, because we're the priest of the home, for what we allowed to happen in our homes. So if I stand before the Lord and I have to give an account for Halloween and trick-or-treats, so be it. I get that. Those are choices that I made. Those are choices that I will have to stand before God with. I don't think that it's going to keep me out of heaven, but I pray that it doesn't. I think God understands children. I think God understands. So we'll see all that when time comes. But since Halloween very rarely takes place on a Sunday, I figured that I would focus on it for a little bit in today's message. Not the holiday, something else that goes along with it. So turn with me over to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 5 to 15, and I think you'll see where I'm going today. Don't worry, you don't have to leave. It's going to be a good message. Trust me. For I consider, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5, for I consider that I am not at all inferior. This is the Apostle Paul talking. That I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested, underline that word manifested in your Bible, among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. In other words, other churches supported his ministry so that he could go into Corinth and not take money from them to minister to them. So it wasn't that he robbed. What he was saying was these churches didn't have any more money than you have, and they paid me to be where I was so that I could minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. In Wednesday night Bible study this past week, we learned about God's deep love for us. I would encourage you, if you don't know that, sign up for OSL Level 1 the next time that it's taught. And the love, we talked about this on Wednesday, the love that we as his people should have in our hearts. And one of the thoughts that came through that Bible study was resounding through every comment that people made, through everything the teacher taught, was this, the fact that when we love, we give. When we love something, we give to that thing. We pay something for that thing. It may not be money. I'm talking about, it might be something from our lives. We pay time to it. We pay a price for it because we love that thing. We love that person. So we're willing to give of ourselves for it. And to love and serve people, listen, church, to love and serve people will always cost us something. We were leaving yesterday the house. I'll just share pastor's transparency with you. We were leaving the house yesterday. We were a little late because I had some things I had going on. I had to get I have a 13-pound brisket that I put in my smoker last night at midnight. Can I tell you, I am so ready to get home and to take this thing out of that smoker and whenever you want, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be good, too. It looked really good this morning when I left. Don't you go to my house and steal it. It's no longer there, is it?
What's your address?
I gladly give it out to you. But I said that to say this. I don't know what I was going to say. Yesterday when I left to come here, we were already late, my wife and I, and it started to cloud up, and I said, ooh, maybe it'll get it canceled. And my wife said, what? She goes, well, then maybe we shouldn't do it anymore. I'm like, you're right, honey. You're right. Let's go and have a great day. We went and had a great day. The sun shone down on us. It drizzled a little bit, nothing to put it off, and we had a great time. Listen, it cost us something to love on people. But when I saw those kids in their faces and I saw the amount of candy that they got, it excited my heart because you have found ways to decorate your cars without doing all of that. And in doing that, just bring the joy of Jesus Christ to people's lives. And some would say, well, a church shouldn't even be involved in that. Listen, if they invite us in this community to do anything, we're doing it. We, no matter what that is, whatever is happening, we're going to be there sharing the love of Jesus Christ. It might be giving out hot dogs to people for free or maybe paying for them, whatever the case is, to raise money for the churches. It may be trunk or treat. We're going to do it, church. Unless it's really something dark and evil. You know what I'm saying? Well, isn't kids in mass? I don't know. It's just, we'll pray about those things and let the Lord lead us. But we're going to be out in the community. We're going to do things. And so this is what Paul's talking about here. He is pointing out the differences between himself and the false prophets that are raising themselves up in the church. And they're trying to lead God's people astray. They're trying to teach false things about the scriptures that aren't true. And Kim and I, we don't decorate for Halloween. There's nothing that goes up in our house for Halloween. There's nothing that goes up in our front yard. It is not a day that we celebrate, but we do give out candy. First of all, as believers, we do not want to be marked as that house in the community that doesn't do anything for the kids. I used to walk past those houses as a kid, and we used to know it every year. Don't even go there. The lights are out. They don't care about us. They don't want to do anything with us. So don't even go there. And we just used to walk right on by. Some of my friends who weren't Christians, used to chuck eggs at them. Maybe you're that house. I apologize. Okay? So we don't want to be marked as believers that don't know how to have fun with children. Secondly, there are so many thoughts that go with that through the minds of children as well as the parents when they don't see a house giving out. But secondly, we use it as an advertisement for our church and or more precisely, our children's and youth ministries. We have a little form that we print out and we take our time and staple it to every piece of candy. And when we put it in that kid's basket, it advertises our children's ministry, it advertises our youth ministries, the times they meet, the days they meet, and on it a little gift that they'll show up between within the next month, if they'll come out and bring that card, a little gift that we'll give them in youth and or in Awana. It's a way to get people into the church, and it works, because yesterday three families said, we want to come to your church. We want to know what you believe, because we've never seen a church do these types of things. We've never seen a church get so involved in the community, but our family has been touched by it. So praise God for that. And so what we do is we put little invites to our church in every pillowcase or every candy basket that comes through our yard. And as we do that, we will get so many children and teenagers who will come up to us and say, hello, Pastor Ken, hello, Sister Kim, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Albert, depending how they know us, either from the school or from the previous youth group that we used to do, because they know us from youth group. We used to have 100 kids on Wednesday nights in our youth group, and many of those are still in the community. Those that are still living, there are some who have passed because of lifestyles and things like that, which saddens our heart. But there are many who are raising families still in the Collins Lakes area, and they always bring their kids pridefully to our yard to show us their children or to introduce us to those and to tell us, man, you guys made a difference in our lives. I know we're not a church. I know we're still not doing the right things, but you guys made a difference. Or they'll see us in the hallways, in the classrooms, or they come to my wife's office, in the guidance office, and they say things. And you know what? Many make it a goal to come and see us because we have touched their lives in certain ways and it makes them feel good. Many times it's the parents who are bringing their children because they attended a youth group and they want to introduce us to their family. And you know what? We eat that up and we love it. My wife will sit out there tonight. Don't worry, she'll teach OSL. I'm going to be the first teacher tonight. She's going to be giving out candy at our house, and then she'll come over in time to teach, and I'll go and give the candy out at our house because we feel it's that important. We really do. We eat that up. But as they say hello to us, many times, unless we catch the voice, we don't know who they are. Why? Because they're wearing a mask. And then they'll rip off the mask or they'll lift up their mask and then we'll say, no way, honey, look who it is. Usually I'm playing a game or something. Halloween's usually like a Monday or Tuesday. I'm playing a game or something. My wife will come in, honey, you got to come out. You got to see who's here. And we'll go out and make a big fuss over them because they are important to us. We get hugs, we get fist pumps, and we get hours of conversations, and it's just a great thing. But that can only take place, church. I'm getting somewhere with this, just bear with me. That conversation and that relationship can only take place once the masks are off, once we know who they truly are, once the real person has been revealed. I know some of them have said, hey, Mr. Albert, and they've walked out of my yard with their candy, and I don't even know who they are. I'm like, hey, sorry, don't know who you are. You got a mask on. And though Paul is speaking here about false prophets, I believe, church, that we can take what he is saying and apply it to our lives for those of us who are living for Christ. Not all of us will be leaders in the church, but we all will have the chance to speak into others' lives about Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying, was trying to protect the church from, listening to the lies, falling into the lies of the false prophets. Or I would call them this because it's Halloween, the prophets behind the masks. You see where I'm going with this today? The prophets behind the masks. And why would we be surprised that they would be wearing masks? Because the Bible tells us in verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. We see that the enemy himself wears a mask. He is not an angel of light. He is the total angel of darkness. He is the angel of hell. But he puts a mask on so that people will not know who he is, and they will accept him into their lives. They will accept him into their situations. They will listen to what he has to say so that he can sneak into their lives and then do his work in their lives and bring destruction into their lives, into their families, and into their situations. So Paul says here, believers, let us take off the masks. Let us take off the masks. Three things I want to share quickly today. The mask hinders our true light from shining. Take off the mask today because the mask hinders our true light from shining. He says in verse 6 that we have been thoroughly manifested. I told you to underline that word. That we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. That word manifested is very powerful in the Greek that it was translated from. When we think of manifested, we're thinking, okay, so they saw Paul, or he was there, he showed up there. But there's so much more meaning in it. The Greek word is, I hope I can say this right, photizo. And it means to enlighten or to bring to light. to enlighten or bring to light. It means to enlighten or illumine something, illuminate something. So Paul was saying here, talking about believers, that when the mask comes off, you see the light of the person or you see the lack of the light in the person. Does that make sense? Because no longer is the mask hiding who we are. When the mask is off, we're seen for who we truly are. We're seen for the things that are taking place around us. Listen, church, it is our job as the church. It is our job as the body of Christ on this earth to bring light to this darkened world. We are to bring light to the darkened world where we live. We are to bring light to the darkened world of where we work. We are to bring light to the darkened world of our communities and our relationships. The mask must come off because Jesus' light must shine. You want to grab that mic there? Come on up, Tony. Tony wanted to take 5 minutes last week and share with the church, but I just thought he wasn't here, but I thought this week it would fit so well with us being the light. Because of us being the light, situations in Tony's life are changing drastically, and God is moving. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit.
My wife was sick there for a while. She wants to thank all of you for your prayers. She has a problem with the Lord right now. We lost a loved one about 25 years ago. And so I'll give you a couple of examples. She asked me, "Hey, would you do this Sunday?" I said, "I went to church." Because you have time for that, I'm going to say nice, that crap, you know? And so I didn't say nothing, you know? And another example is, Pastor Ken called the house one time and gave him an earful, you know? But you wanted to get it off your chest.
Yeah.
He was part, next up to the Lord, and really gave it to him, you know? Probably heard words he never heard before, you know? And but she just wanted to get it off her chest. Mm-hmm. That's all. She just wanted to get it off her chest. So I picked her up from the hospital. She'd been sick for cancer for 5 years, in and out. She's in the hospital this month, 2 months now, in and out. And went and picked her up. And she said, "I think the Lord touched my heart for the first time in 25 years. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so she told me to thank you. She'll be here one day, but to thank all you is a happy wife, happy life, you know, so that's why I'm saying this. And so thank you for all your prayers, really. So she'll be here one day. Thank you.
Let your light shine. Let your light shine where you work. Eileen went in to see Flossie when she first went in. Eileen works in the hospital. And I told Kim, make sure you tell Eileen that she's not going to be receptive, but we want to do this anyway. Eileen went in, she was receptive. Eileen prayed with her, and we began to see then a change. And I think, if I got the words right, I think the words you told me, and maybe they weren't the exact words Flossie said, but I thought from you, you told me that she said God saved her. Yes. So, and then I talked with Flossie not long ago, and Flossie said, "I'm coming to church, Ken. I don't know when, but I'm going to come out." This is huge. This is the light being shown in the darkened world. It would have done us no good to talk to Flossie about the loved one that she had lost. It would have done us no good to talk about this or that. What we do is we just give the light that we're able to give by loving people and caring for them, and then they respond in the appropriate time as God works in their lives. See, the work, the word there is also rendered to make see. This word manifested, to make see. I don't know about you, but I saw this yesterday at our trunk retreat. Some of those masks are hard to see through. I had some kids that tripped over their own feet. I remember as a kid having to lift mine up or take it off to get to a door because there were steps. And I was afraid I was going to fall up them or fall down them or trip over a curb. And with the group that I went trick-or-treating with Tony and my sister Ruth, they would have just laughed at you mercilessly if you fell and broke your nose or something. You know what I'm saying? So you know what? You just... okay, now I can go, right? So, my brothers and sisters, we cannot illuminate the world to the way of following Jesus if we can't follow it ourselves. Do you see what I'm saying? These masks that we wear as believers, and we come into the fellowship of the saints into church, and we come into our meetings and we act like everything is okay. We're afraid to let people know that there's something wrong. We're afraid to let people know that we're not with it today. We're afraid to let people know that we might have fallen this week, or that we might have come to a place where we're really not walking with the Lord right now. We're afraid of those things, when this is the place where if we would allow those things to be known, and listen, I'm beating the bush, I get it, but we do it in church all the time. But we have to come in and be willing to say, church, would you pray for me today? I'm not where I need to be. Church, would you lay hands on me? Would you believe for this week? Would you help me? I don't understand the scripture, or I'm having a struggle with this walk in my life because of this thing that I'm dealing with. And if we would do that, Jesus would heal us so much quicker, so much faster and more quickly. And we would be so much more healthier in our lives, because this is the place, not where we have to have it all together. This is the place where we can be healed. This is the place where we can be whole. And I want to tell you, I cannot speak this for all churches, but I want to tell you, you will never be judged in this place for something that you share with us. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I know some of your pasts. They've never been brought up, and you would never be judged for those things. Though sometimes you're judged by other Christians or outside of this church, it's not going to happen in this church. Please understand, and if it does happen, you talk to the pastor, I'll talk to Jesus, and together we'll nip it in the bud. Amen? We put on an air of religiosity. Oh, I got to look the part. I've got to be holier than thou. And this is a shame, because this is why the world doesn't want to come to church. This is why some husbands don't want to come to church. Some wives don't want to come to church. Because you go home and you put this air on about, look at me, boy, I was in church today, you heathen. What'd you stay home for? Or this or that, or we act like we have arrived. Listen, if you have arrived, you want to go find another church, because this church will tear you up, because none of us have arrived, and we're all trying to get there, and we're all trying to follow Jesus and everything that we are. Listen, some of us have come over some major obstacles, but we still have things to get through. Amen. We act like we got it all together, when truthfully, we're a mess. What do we need to do? Remove the mask. Face up to the fact that, you know what? I may not be there yet. You know what? Let's face up to the fact I'm not there yet. And I've got a ways to go. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives. The Holy Spirit cannot work in us when we've got a mask on. Let's die to ourselves and begin to follow Christ in all things. We will never die to ourselves if we have the mask on. And allow Christ to strengthen us so that we can be an example of Christ and His love and salvation to the world around us. For instance, yesterday, I needed a hammer. I went up to a group of cars. I asked for a hammer. And there was a woman there that I did not know. I didn't think I knew. And she was going to give me a hammer. But then my mother-in-law, who was right next to her, had the hammer. So I got it from her. So this woman has children with her. And I'm thinking that she's part of the fire hall. So, but she was very nice to me. Very, you know, almost like I knew her, but I didn't know that I knew her. And so at the end of it, her kids come up to me and they say, Pastor Ken, thank you. And I'm like, okay. So I do know this woman. So I said to Dan, who I was talking to, I said, Dan, do you know who that woman is in the poodle skirt? Because I have no idea who that is, but her kids know me. I thought she was with the fire hall. And then I go and see her, walk over to my wife, talk to my wife, and give my wife a hug. And I'm like, well, I know her. And so Kim brings her over. Here, it was Melissa McGrath, who attends our church, but she had makeup on and she was dressed up. I did not know who it was. And I felt like an idiot. But she goes, oh, no, no, you wouldn't know who I was dressed up like this. You've never seen me like this. Right? And so here it is again, how masks, and nothing negative on Melissa, but this is how masks hide who we are and things like that we really don't know the real person. Once I realized who it was, I'm like, I should have known who that was, but I didn't. And so this is the way it is in the church. This is the way it is with Christ. We want Christ to work in our lives, but we don't want to take the masks off. We used to sing a song in children's church. This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine. And one of my favorite verses was, hide it under a bushel. And I'll tell you why that was my favorite verse. Because I used to get to holler out, no! Right? Every kid loves to holler out in church. You mean I can holler in church? Because mom and dad told me I couldn't holler in church. You can holler in church. No! Right? And so hide it under a bushel. Today I say, hide it behind a mask? No. We are going to be whole, spiritually healthy, and able to be used by Jesus in every situation where we find ourselves. Amen? So let's not hide it behind a mask. It's not about us acting a certain way. I'm not asking you to act a certain way. It's about us totally being who we are and living this real life with Jesus Christ. Coincidentally, that is our theme for the year 2022. The Lord has laid it upon my heart. Our theme for next year is going to be full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. There's something about the Holy Spirit that we have been not really entering into in this church, and I believe that it's really going to fire our church up when we understand what it really means to be a church that is full, what it means to be individuals who are full of the Spirit. And so there will be a lot of messages next year about being full of the Spirit. Number two, the mask hinders us from humbling ourselves. Why? Because the mask draws attention to itself. The mask makes us look like everybody else. Don't look like everybody else. Be you. Be who you are. Be who God has created you to be. I do not want to have a church of Pastor Ken's. I do not want to have a church of Pastor Kim's. I do not want to have a church of Chris Pasamontes. I do not want to have a church of Erica Pasantes. I do not want to have a church of just all of the same person. What I love about our church is the difference in the color of skins, the difference in the eyes, the difference in the hair, the difference in how we look, the difference in how we talk, the difference in how we relate to one another. That's the church that I love to pastor, and it is what I boast about my church to everyone I talk about. This is an amazing family. I love that. And so let's be a church where we are just ourselves with who God is working in us and what God is doing in us. Let's not put the mask on that makes us look like everybody else. Well, Pastor will like me better if I look this way. No, Pastor is not going to like you any better than Pastor likes you already. Okay? If you attend my church, I love you, and I will try to be there for you as much as I'm able to with the schedule that I keep, and I will try to be your pastor and bring you up in the way of the things of the Lord, because that's my job, so that I can dismiss you to go into the world where you work, where you live life, and be the example that God has called you to be. The mask can many times make us prideful. Ooh, look at me. Ooh, I've arrived. Paul said here that he took the mask off so that he would be humbled, so that they, the church he was ministering to, could be exalted. So that they would be lifted up in serving Jesus Christ. What was Paul saying? Paul's saying, I take the mask off because it's not about me. I take the mask off because I don't want to be known for anything. Even though he was in need, and he says this, I was in need when I was among you. I didn't burden you. I didn't ask you for offerings. I didn't ask you to take care of me. He said, though I was in need among you, I would not do anything that would place a burden on this church and make it about himself. Do you hear what he's saying? There is a pridefulness in the American church today. I believe that's why many people don't go to the American church today, because there is a pridefulness. We tend to think of ourselves as better than others. We tend to adopt an us and them mentality. And anytime I speak us and them, I try to break that down to those of us who know Christ, those of us who don't know Christ. It's not us and them. It's us who have a head start in walking with Christ and those who are going to come to know Christ. And if you ever hear me handle that situation any different, you please let me know, and I will remedy whatever I said in that service and make it what I believe it to be about. It's in the heart of pastors today, the us and them, the better than now. I feel it every once in a while. There's times that it creeps up in my heart. It's in the heart of those who do the tough jobs in the church. Hey, look at me. Did you hear my voice today? Hey, did you like the way I played this instrument today? Ooh, nobody else is doing this job in the church. I'm the only one. Where were you when we were doing that function? You should have been there. We need to be careful, church. And we need to remember James 1:17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift. In other words, anything good in us comes from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What does that mean? It means any good that comes out of Pablo's life is not Pablo, it's Jesus Christ. It means any good thing that Teresa can say to somebody or do for somebody, it doesn't come from Teresa's ability, it comes from Christ working through her life. Whatever good thing Miss Lisa can do in anybody's life only comes from the Father above. Do you hear what I'm saying today? We don't have good in us. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. I might be getting ahead of myself. I am. It's Jeremiah 17:9. If you want to go there, we're going to look at it in just a second. There's nothing good in us. And it would do us good to remember that daily. And then, instead of saying, look at me, let's turn everything around that God has done in our lives and thank him for what he has accomplished in us. And if we can't find anything good that God has done in us, then let's just turn to him and say, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me your son or daughter. Thank you for being with me this day. Thank you for bringing this about in my life. Amen. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only one can know it, and that's our Father God. Mark 7:21-23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. This is all that comes out of man's hearts. Turn on your news at night if you don't believe me. All these evil things come from within and they defile a man. All of these things defile us. Nothing builds us up. Nothing creates anything within us except God and our life with Him. And James 4:10 says it best, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. How many want to be lifted today? Take the mask off. Be who you were created to be. Humble yourself in the sight of God and let Him promote you. Let Him lift you up. Let Him take care of you. When we remove the mask and when we embrace humility, the Lord promises that He will exalt us and that He will lift us up. If you want to receive God's grace, seek to consistently humble yourself in the sight of God. We will never be able to make it about others if we don't get ourselves out of the way. There's no way that I can do something for somebody else with myself in the way. Can't do it. A lifestyle of humility makes room for Jesus to touch not only our lives, but all the lives of those around us. This is exactly what Jesus came to model for us when He lived and died on this earth. Look at Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Jesus had no mask on. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that means hell, and that every tongue should confess, that means in hell also, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so I would say, church, let's remove the masks today so that others can see the Jesus who is in us. And I already hinted at it, but let me make my last point today. The mask hinders us from sticking out in our world. It is not a good thing when everybody looks alike. We have been created in the image and in the likeness of God, but we seem to always want to take on the likeness of the world. Why is that? Because the world is pressuring us. The world is demanding that we conform to what the world says and how the world says it should be done. And so this world is exerting pressure on. We have to live in the world. We're not of it, but we have to live in it. And living in it causes us to want to take sometimes the form that the world takes on around us. Many times, we trade what is forever for that which is fading away quickly. The things of the world are fading away quickly. It's heaven, it's eternity, it's Jesus Christ, it's being a follower of Him that goes on forever. And as Paul says in verse 12 to 15, it also gave the opportunity for these false prophets to come and fleece the church. You see, if Paul would have just acted with a mask, these false prophets, the same mask that they put on, he would have never been seen as being different, and they would have never been exposed. But by Paul choosing to live differently, by Paul choosing to live humbly, by Paul choosing to live a life that wasn't like what they were speaking and what they were saying, they stood out. He says in verse 12, I will continue to act like I act, and I will continue to do what I do. I will keep the mask off, and I will allow Jesus' light to shine. I will keep my mask off, and I will remain humble. I will allow myself to stick out and look different. There's so many Christians that don't want to stick out and look different today. Why? So that they will stick out and be seen for who they really are. This is the reason for this whole discourse. This is the reason for these whole scriptures that we read from the beginning. Paul wants to prove to the church, these prophets are not like me. I'm the one who God has sent here. We are the ones who God has brought here, not them. They're not like me. They are different. They are liars. They are thieves among you. And then he says, imagine this. If Satan wears a mask as an angel of light, then how much more would you not expect that his followers and his workers would come to us in masks? So let us be different, church. Let us stick out. Maybe it will bring persecution. Then let us be persecuted. Maybe it will bring things against us that we don't want to bring against us, some uncomfortableness. Then let us be uncomfortable. But let us know that we're following Jesus and serving him with everything in our hearts. Amy Semple McPherson, the woman who started our denomination. It's not a denomination. We call it a church plant movement. That's what she chose. So Amy Semple McPherson, she traveled to the United States. She came to Philadelphia twice. She came to Philadelphia twice. Her visit to Philadelphia is what brought my family out of the Lutheran church into the Pentecostal church. My grandmother and her sisters went to that service with Amy Semple McPherson, that tent meeting, and they found Jesus Christ in a new way. In so doing, they went to a Pentecostal church, and thank God for that, because my father and my mom and all those followed in that. But in the Philadelphia meeting, one of the Philadelphia meetings, there was this group of people that were going to come and cause problems for her. They were atheists. They didn't believe the way she believed. They wanted to cause problems because she was gaining ground in Philadelphia. And so she knew they were there. God showed her they were there. And so Amy, being very wise, being very full of the Holy Spirit, said to the crowd that was there, "Let's take some time and fall to our knees and worship Jesus." And so what happened was, when the whole group in the tent got down to their knees to worship Jesus, these rebel rousers were left standing, and everybody, they stuck out. And so they quickly realized, uh-oh, the gig's up. And the Bible, and not the Bible, the Bible says, the history says that they left her meeting very quietly because they realized that they stuck out like sore thumbs. This is what Paul's saying about us as the church. If we'll take off our masks, we'll be different, but we'll also recognize Satan's workers among us. Wait a minute, Pastor, are you saying that there's Satan's workers in the church? Very much so. Now, we're not going to point fingers at it. I'm not saying they're here today. I'm saying he will come in and cause division. He will come in and cause different things that are happening to separate the church and to bring something against the church. Don't look around. I don't think there's anybody here today that's here to do that. But this is what he's saying. He's saying it's okay to stick out. In fact, it's imperative that we stick out as Christians. For if we do not, then how will people know what is really of God and what isn't? Tonight, the kids will come home, because we're having trick-or-treat tonight. Tonight, the kids will come home and they will remove their masks of Halloween and life will go back to normal. They'll have to go back to school tomorrow. Well, maybe it won't be normal, because for the next 3 or 4 days, they're going to be sugared up and they're going to be jumping around and it's going to be crazy in your homes. But you know what I'm saying. The Halloween will be over, the masquerade will be over, and now it's time to get back to life. Today, we are facing a world that doesn't know what is truth and untruth. I'm telling you that today. We don't know it in any type of thing in our world. Too many people cannot decide. Too many people don't get it. But God has called a people. God has called his people. God has called you, each and every one of us, his church, to be real. God has called his church. God has called us. God has called you to be genuine. God has called us. God has called the church. God has called the body of Christ. God has called you to be marked by his presence and by his power. God has called the church. God has called you. God has called me to be a difference maker in our world. There is no trick or treat in the church. There is only truth and thanksgiving. Trick or treat says, you do something for me, or I'm going to do something to you. That's what our kids are saying when they go to the door. Either you give me a treat, or, man, we're going to mess this house up. See what I'm saying? Now, nobody does that, but that's what it says, right? The church says truth and thanksgiving. And what that says is, when we live in the truth of Jesus Christ, there will always be something to lift our hands and be thankful for. The candy will all go away. The candy will rot. The candy will be thrown out, maybe, if the kids don't eat it, whatever the case is. It'll be gone. But you and I, because we don't trick or treat, we truth and thanksgiving. We leave this place today with hands lifted up, with hearts lifted up to say, Jesus, I have so much to be thankful for. thank you for what you have done in my life. Let's pray today.